Hello and welcome to the Cup of Tri Triathlon podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, Team Oxygen Addict, who are online triathlon coaching, event-specific training plans, coaching guidance from me, Coach Rob Wilby, and supportive teammates in a private Facebook group. And we're also brought to you by our patrons who support the show with a monthly donation. Now, you guys will probably know Helen's not here this week. She's off away on her Holly Bobs. So I'm flying solo. So I'm just going to do a little short introduction this week, cover some of the news and the things that have been happening, because there's quite a lot going on, actually. So I wanted to do a little bit of introduction. And the first thing I wanted to do was thank all of you who've signed up to be patrons of the show this week. We've had another bonanza week. We're really, really grateful to all of you. Most of you will know, if you've been listening regularly, we added the option to be an annual patron recently, so you can kind of make a one-off payment to support the show, and loads of people have really gone for it and are supporting us, so we're really super grateful. So this week's thanks, in no particular order, go to Fran White, Neil Feekins, Joe Scott Dalgleish, Pat Walkington, Jason Eagleston, Joanna Grundle, Kirsten Owen, Simon Shaw and James Corlett. Thanks very much to all of you for supporting us. We've now got nearly 60 patrons for the show, which is just brilliant. And we never imagined when we started the show all those, over 2 years ago now, that we'd have such a brilliant community rallying around us. So thanks very much. You guys will all get access by way of a thank you. We've put together a special patrons only podcast. We've got about an hour long interview with Joe Skipper. We've got Harry Wiltshire. We've got Lucy Gossage. We've got three or four other people on there as well with some shorter clips. But the podcast is going to run to about an hour and a half, and it's our way of saying thank you to you guys for supporting us. So that's going to be released the day before New Year's Eve. So if you guys want to sign up and support and get access to that special patrons only podcast, you can do that by going to our patrons page, which is at oxygenaddict.com/patrons, or just you can follow oxygenaddict.com/podcast and just click on the link that goes through to become a patron, and it's all pretty straightforward on there. And anybody who signs up to be a patron before the 31st of December is going to get a surprise from us in the new year. We're not going to say what it is yet, but we've got something lined up for February of this year, and you guys are going to get a special thank you from us when that happens. So yeah, you got to be in it to win it. Anyway, so Helen is currently, she sent me a little photograph earlier on today. She's over in Canada visiting family, and it was, what was her number? Minus 20 degrees centigrade or something today over there. So if you're in Great Britain and you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself that it's a bit chilly this morning, it's not as chilly as it is for Helen. So yeah, so I hope you're having fun out there, Hells. I'm sure you're listening. And let's take us over to our news from this week. So I think the first up, we've got to say the first news is Ali Brownlee finishing second at the Sports Personality of the Year Award. So any foreign listeners, that's a big yearly sports recognition award run by the BBC over here. And it's a really big deal. And for Ali to finish second, I think, shows a couple of things. It shows, firstly, that the triathlon community over here really got together. There was something like 120,000 votes for him. So that's pretty full on. It goes to show how much the profile of triathlon has been raised over the last sort of 4 to 5 years in the UK with the success of those guys at the Olympics. And also, I think it just goes to show how much his profile was raised with helping his brother out during the Cozumel incident. So really chuffed for you, mate. You couldn't quite take down Andy Murray this time, but who knows, maybe next year when you've won Kona, hey? We'll see. Next bit of news that we saw, and this is interesting because we've got this young lady on the show next week. Team Freespeed have announced their team members for the next 12 months. So a lot of you all know they're a team based out of London that sponsor really good age group athletes. We've had Andy Greenleaf on the show. And they've announced that Ruth Purbrook, who's 27 and from Full On Tri, she's been offered a place on their team for this year. She's won her age group at the Wiesbaden 70.3 this year, and she finished third at the World 70.3 Championships. Helen's done a brilliant interview with her that we're going to have on the show next week. So you can tune in to listen to all of that. But she's super talented and she's stepping up to race Kona next year. So yeah, tune in next week to hear that interview with Helen. So congratulations, Ruth. Team Free Speed have got a fantastic setup. They get some really good kit sponsorship and support from the Free Speed guys down in London. So I'm sure that will move you on to another level. So great stuff for you. Next piece of news I saw was that the Long Course Weekend have expanded. Now, for those of you who haven't heard that, Long Course Weekend originated in Wales on the same course as the Ironman Wales course. And they basically run an Ironman broken up across a weekend where you do the swim on the same course as the Ironman Wales swim will be. On the Friday night, you do the bike course as a sportif on the Saturday, and then the marathon as a run on the Sunday. And they've announced that they're expanding into Mallorca. That's going to take place in 2017 on the date isn't out yet, actually. November 2017, it says. It's going to be in Alcudia, so all bets are saying that that's going to be on the same course as the recently discontinued Ironman Mallorca course. So again, that's still to be announced, but that'll make a brilliant end of season blowout for anybody who wants to go down and get some winter sun. So I think that's going to be a fantastic race, so good work there. And the last bit of news that we saw is that Boardman have announced that they're going to be opening, finally, this was, we talked about this a while ago actually, the Boardman Centre has been granted planning approval for their performance centre. It's going to be at the Valley Retail Park near Evesham in Worcestershire, and as well as having the head office there, they're going to build a cycling specific wind tunnel. Now, I've read a few interviews with Chris Boardman where he's been talking about wanting to bring wind tunnel testing to the masses by having it being cheaper than it currently is available. There's a couple of places where it's available, and if you've listened to our interview that we did with Matt Botterill earlier this year, you'll know that he's done a lot of wind tunnel testing, and some of the performance gains that they get from being in the wind tunnel are absolutely phenomenal. The time savings are huge. And in fact, I was talking with my mate Chris Standage, who you'll have heard us talk about last week. He was the first one over the line at 70.3. Oh, where was it? 70.3, not Bahrain. Last week, it's gone, my mind's gone blank, but he was in the wind tunnel earlier this year and he got some amazing results from there. They've reduced his drag numbers enormously, so very excited to see Boardman bring this to fruition. Once it gets built, I think we should try and get ourselves down there and try and do a podcast from there. I think it'd be absolutely fascinating. So good work, Chris Boardman. Very excited to see how this all rolls out. So again, that news section there was brought to us courtesy of our patrons, and I'm going to read this out. We got an email through from Simon Shaw, so thanks for becoming a patron, Simon. He says, since discovering the show earlier this year, it's been a weekly highlight that, along with IM Talk, helps both inspire and make more manageable those hard turbo sessions that you've helped convince me was such a good idea. Here's a picture I'm proud of, crossing the finish line first and filthy after this year's Chilham Castle Duathlon. A great end to the season, well suited for a whippet like me with a cross-country pedigree. Keep up the good work and happy Christmas. So thanks for taking the time to write, Simon. Really appreciate that. And to be compared with IM Talk, those guys were my inspiration when I started this originally. So really appreciate that. Okay, moving on, we're going to do Coach's Couch this week. So Coach's Couch is sponsored by Team Oxygen Addict, which is my triathlon coaching team. The team's not open at the moment, but we're going to be opening for new memberships in January of this year, in mid-January. So if you're interested in what we've got to offer and you like what we've been talking about, so get over to the website, which is team.oxygenaddict.com, and if you go there, there's a waiting list you can click. Just add your email and we will give you notification when we open up. There's also the option to get a free four-week training plan from us to tide you over the Christmas period before we open. So go over and check that out. Team Oxygen Addict is essentially an event specific training plan written by me, so it's tailored to the event that you're going to be doing. You're going to get funneled into one of several different levels of training plans, so it will be appropriate for the level of training history that you've got and the background you've got to address whichever weaknesses and limiters you have, be it swim, bike or run. But the thing that's really cool about it, we started a Facebook group, a private Facebook group. Then the idea was I was going to be giving out coaching advice in there, and I do that, but one of the biggest things we found is the teammate interaction that goes on. They are helping each other out, patting each other on the back, giving each other a chin up when things are not going so well. It's a really great group. We've got close to 70 members in there now, so it's been a roaring success, and I'm really chuffed because obviously I really hoped it was going to be good, and you just never know when you launch something like this, but the feedback we've got has been overwhelmingly positive, and I'm just really grateful that it worked the way we hoped that it would. So yeah, we're opening in mid-January. Get yourself down on the waiting list there, and you'll see if you're around Facebook, there's adverts for us, so click on the link through there and you can pick up a free 4-week training plan to get you through the Christmas period. And our question this week is from Matt Mills. Matt says, I'm living in a very hilly area. What's the best way to maintain e-pace running without my heart rate going through the roof? So first up, I'll address that phrase e-pace. E-pace or endurance pace or easy pace comes from the book, the Jack Daniels Running Formula, which regular listeners will have heard me talking about. If you've not read the book, The Jack Daniels Running Formula, firstly, it's not about drinking whiskey and going for a run. I think it's the best all-round readable book on physiology for runners and triathletes that's out there. If you're any kind of triathlon geek, and I imagine if you're listening to this, you probably are, you'll just love the way it's written. It's very readable. He's got loads of training plans for running stuff in there. But what he does is, Jack Daniels was a doctor of physiology, and having done hundreds and thousands of tests on people on treadmills, he did regression analysis and said people with a VO2 max value of this can run at these paces for these kind of sessions. So he breaks it down to be threshold pace is exactly this pace. So there's no guesswork whether you're running at your threshold pace. He'll give you the pace to run at. And I think given the fact everyone's got GPS units these days, you know, that wasn't even invented when he'd come up with his book. So if you've got a GPS unit, train by pace. It's the most accurate way to go. And he's got a kind of 5-pace system that's got E-pace for endurance, M-pace for marathon or tempo running, T-pace for threshold-based running, and then he's got I-pace, which is essentially VO2 max pace or hard interval running paces. So you'll always know that you're running exactly the right pace to get the kind of physiological change that you want. It's what I use to coach my athletes on their running. And it makes your running, it takes away the guesswork, essentially. You'll know exactly the pace that you're running at. Now then, the big challenge with all of this is, if you're running on hills, going uphill or downhill, obviously we know it's harder to run uphill and it's easier to run downhill. And if you maintain, let's say your e-pace is 5 minutes a kilometre, if you maintain 5 minutes a kilometre running up a hill of any kind of steepness, you'll know that your heart rate rises significantly, your breathing rate rises significantly, and that tells us there's a much greater physiological cost to running uphill, and until recently we couldn't find a way to quantify it. If you've got a running power meter, obviously that's simple, that's solved for you. Use that and it tells you exactly the power numbers. But most people haven't got one still. And so the question is, you know, what on earth do I do to change that pace around? And what I would say to you is there is a way to do this. If you haven't got yourself a Training Peaks account at trainingpeaks.com, get yourself one, learn how to use it. There's a free version of it anyway. And you can upload your GPS file into it. And one of the really nifty features that they've got within Training Peaks is once you've uploaded your run file and you go in and you analyze your run pace, they've got a metric in there called NGP, which stands for normalized graded pace, which essentially means it's adjusted to take account of the fact you were running uphill or downhill. So they use the GPS data to work out whether you were running uphill or downhill, and then the algorithm does the work in the background to work out what the normalized pace or the physiological cost of running up that hill was. And it gives you a number that tells you if you were running on the flat, you would be running at this pace. So I've got some information up on the screen here from a guy that I coach, a guy called Alex, who's a very good runner. And his e-pace is, it's in the realm of about 4:45 a kilometer, to give you a an idea of the kind of runner he is. He's about a 17 minute flat 5k runner, and he went out and did some hill repeats on a session I gave him the other day. The session was 6 repeats of 2 minutes up a hill, and I told him I wanted him running really hard. It's kind of a VO2 max type effort. And if he'd just gone off his GPS watch looking down, his average pace on these 2 minute reps, according to the GPS unit, was 5:25 a kilometre, so significantly slower than his e-pace by about 40 seconds a kilometre, or a minute a mile. So looking at his GPS reading, he'd have thought he was running slowly. The normalised graded pace for these runs was 3:10 to 3:15 per kilometre. And my little chart on the wall here tells me that that would be about 5:15 a mile for those of you who work in minutes per mile still. So he was running blooming fast. You know, the equivalent of running on the flat was very, very fast indeed. So the question here that's come in from Matt Mills is a really good one. If you're just looking at your watch and you're trying to maintain your e-pace, obviously my athlete Alex was running up a steep hill here. But any kind of hill is going to affect your running pace. And if you are running over steeper hills and you're looking down and you're going to give yourself a bit of leeway, but you probably wouldn't think you need to give yourself that much leeway. The normalized graded pace metric within Training Peaks is telling us here that it's more than 2 minutes a kilometer different between the pace he's seeing on his watch and the real pace he would be running for the same physiological effort if he was running on the flat. So my advice to you, Matt, is to go away, upload one of these runs, come back, upload it, analyze it. When you do your run, what I'd advise you to do is take a split on your watch every time the terrain changes. So as you start to go up a hill, take the split. As you get to the top of the hill, take a split. As you run over the top and you get to the bottom of the hill, take a split again. And then when you upload the file, it's going to be really easy for you to see the different laps within Training Peaks. And it'll be obvious as you look at average pace and normalized graded pace next to each other what the difference between those two runs is. And with a little bit of trial and error, you'll be able to work out the difference between the two. And after a couple of runs of doing this, you'll be able to work out that, okay, if I'm wanting to maintain the physiological cost of running at my e-pace, or let's say it's 5 minutes a K, I'll need to back it off probably 2 minutes a K if Alex's numbers are anything to go off here, and run at 7 minutes a K on my watch to get the same physiological cost as it would be running on the flat. So hope that helps you. Some rough rules of thumb there for you, but you're going to have to go away and do a little bit of trial and error. A real good measure of this is going to be if you can keep your heart rate steady or relatively steady, then that's, you're in the right ballpark. And it's okay to walk on the steeper hills. Give yourself, especially at this time of year, this has been recorded in sort of late December, it's okay to back it right off. I know when I was in my prime and I was racing and I was, you know, at the pointy end of races for a little while, I would back it right off on the hills and sometimes would let myself walk when I was doing e-pace runs so that I didn't get that big spike in heart rate. Because if that's what you do, and if you're out for the long steady run and the aim of your long steady run is to get yourself acclimated to running at a long slow pace and get yourself running at the top of the aerobic zone, and you want to keep yourself in that, I hate to use the phrase fat burning, but that's what it's there for. It's to get your body more efficient at metabolizing fat for a fuel. If you spike your heart rate and you spike yourself into burning much more carbs very quickly, it's going to be much less efficient a run at doing that. So have a clear purpose what your run's for, and if it is that run of the week that's there for the, you know, the longer aerobic, top of aerobic zone adaption, really make sure that you're sticking yourself to that. And if you need to walk, that's okay. No one else is going to care except on race day when you go ahead and beat them. All right, so thanks very much for the question, Matt. We really appreciate it. Okay then, we're going to take us over now to our interview of the week. Our interview is this week, it's with Keith Davis. Keith is the race director of Xterra Wales, and we talked about Xterra Wales a few weeks ago. Helen was really excited about it. She is going to go down. I think her better half Rich is taking part in it, and she was considering it for a while, but she's not going to now. And Keith got in touch, and we'd love the story of how he's got Xterra Wales back on the map in the UK. UK. So Helen did a great interview with him. I'm not going to spoil any of it. I'll just hand you over now to our interview with Helen and Keith Davis of Exeterra Wales.
Keith Davis, hello and welcome to the Cup of Tri Triathlon podcast. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on, Keith, because Exeterra is coming back to the UK next year and you're the guy behind it, aren't you?
I am, yes, yes. I've been in love with Exeterra for many, many years, mainly because my wife, she competed since 2002. We've seen the rise and fall of Exeterra in the UK, and, well, we just don't want it to leave the shores. We want it here to stay.
Tell us a bit about the history of Exeterra in the UK, because, as you say, it sort of did come, then it went, and then it came again. So why is that?
It was here back in the early 2000s when it was based down in Minehead. It came back 2006 in Wales, then it went to England. I just think that because it doesn't have the backing of British Triathlon, controversially, some people might agree or disagree with that. It's just not a focus for many triathletes in the UK. But it is such a challenge. It's not your normal triathlon. It's very exciting racing. It's obviously very tough. The course that we have here in Exeterra Wales, especially the run, is absolutely brutal. it's got a lot to offer. But because it hasn't got that Olympic focus, it just seems to be lost on a lot of British triathletes and on British triathlon as well. But I think that they are missing a trick. It makes for spectacular TV. I can talk all day on it, I suppose, why there has been a rise and fall.
And Keith, why should someone who's maybe looking at events for next season and perhaps they're skimming through an Olympic distance or they're thinking, oh, I might go for Olympic or maybe I'll go for 70.3, why should they go for Exeterra perhaps instead or in addition to?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is... The event is not, it's a round an Olympic distance event, but if anyone has ever ridden a mountain bike race or done an off-road duathlon, they know that it takes a lot longer, especially if the conditions are rainy and wet, which it never is in Wales. It's always nice and sunny and there's never any mud about, but you could be talking, it could take you 2 hours to do the bike course. And then it can take you an hour and 10 maybe to do the run because of how wet and slippery it is. This is adventure and racing. It's just not your standard triathlon. And a little bit more about the course, I suppose. I'll tell you about that. It's a sea swim, a two-lap sea swim. We're not doing an Australian exit. That's off our own personal slipway that we have here at UWC Atlantic College. We actually developed the rib here at Atlantic College and gave it to the lifeboat service. And we had a lifeboat station here for many years. Our sea safety crew actually crew the boats down at Tyne and Wales as well. So there's a lot of experience. We know the water really, really well here. The bike course, it was master planned by Davis Davis, who's in the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame for his work on designing trails. So you can't get, he's sort of mountain bike royalty or guru, and the course has been built by a chap called Gareth Rees, who built most of David's courses throughout South Wales. He's been abroad building courses. Gareth built the Olympic Legacy course. The run is, as I said, is pretty brutal. We have Tudor formal gardens, so Grade 1 heritage listed gardens. We have 122 steps. And it's a three-lap course that takes you up those steps every single lap.
So you've got to do 122 steps each lap.
Each lap, and then we take you through the forestry. You've got to, you're going to be jumping over streams, brooks, fallen trees. It's going to be tough. I say it will be. It's absolutely brutal, but a breathtaking. The run takes you through a 12th-century castle as well. It is absolutely stunning. Location second to none. The racing is going to be epic as well.
Do you think it's going to be the toughest Exeterra course out there?
It depends on the weather. I think the run is going to be the toughest run, definitely. I know that Exeterra France like to think that they've got a tough course, but the run is here. I'm sure that we're going to have a few tears and a few paddies on the run, but that's, you know, if people come knowing that it's going to be a tough race, then yeah, they will love it and enjoy it. We're going to have king and queen of the steps, so we'll have chip time in. Who's ever got the fastest overall time going up the steps, we'll get a certain prize as well. So we're expecting some very good racing to go on the day.
That sounds amazing. But Keith, one thing which I'm going around in my head, right? I have been mountain biking maybe twice. Once I ended up in tears because I fell off and I just hadn't really been before. I would love to do this race because it just sounds amazing. But how good do you actually have to be on a mountain bike to enter Exterra Wales?
Yeah, another good question. So we sat down with David Davis at Gareth Rees, and we explained the event and the draw on triathletes who don't normally ride or race mountain bike. So the mountain bike course has been designed in such a way that if you ride it slowly enough, so there's whips and berms and little tabletops and corners. If you ride it slowly enough, my 9-year-old son will be able to ride it. But if you ride it flat out, it becomes very technical. So the faster you ride it, the harder it will be technically. You'll end up having to try and jump the whips and berms. So whips are sort of a series of sort of camel humps, I suppose, what is a good way of trying to explain those. So don't worry about it. Plus, we'll have A and B routes. So the A route will be a slightly shorter distance, but will be more technical. There'll be a B route, which takes you on sweeping bends and is not very technical, but it might take you like 20 seconds more to go down.
Excellent. So there are options for mountain bike. Those who have similar mountain bike experience to me, I a bit like, oh, I'd love that kind of thing, but I just don't know if I've got the confidence to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've catered for that. We've thought about it and come up with a plan and we've put it into action.
Keith, tell us a little bit more about the actual location of Atlantic College and what it is, because some people may never have heard of Atlantic College and exactly where it is.
Yeah, it seems to be the best kept secret in South Wales, really. So the castle is a 12th century castle. It's the only castle that's been permanently occupied, certainly in Wales, since the 12th century. And it's obviously a Norman castle. It's 166 acres, grade one heritage listed site, both in buildings and in grounds. And since 1962, there's been a college, and we take children from all over the world, predominantly the age of A-level students. They come here, again, predominantly under scholarships from most of the war-torn areas of the world. And we fly them in. Lots of them turn up without any shoes on, only the clothes that they've got on their back, and we give them a warm, safe environment, food in their belly, and a really good education. So we at Atlantic College developed the International Baccalaureate and again gave that to the world. And we fund predominantly through donors who kindly give to us, and we've got an endowment as well that we pay for students here.
It sounds like a really, really good project and an amazing place to hold Exterra. You've mentioned to me that actually you're not doing this race to make a profit from it, are you? You're doing this race to put something back into the community.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we. I think a lot. Again, controversially, a lot of people putting on events to maximize profit. But I just wanted to go back to old school where I'm putting on an event for the love of the sport, really. I want to see Exterra stay in the UK and prosper. So I'm not taking any salary from this. Whatever money we make is being put back into the scholarship program. So we're targeting, we're confident that we could probably get enough proceeds to fund a Syrian refugee and maybe two Syrian refugees coming and getting an education here.
That is really, really impressive. And in terms of training, if someone was thinking, right, you know what, I do fancy Exterra next June, What should they be doing over the winter to get ready?
Running up a lot of steps on it. No, it's a sea swim, so obviously they need to get in the sea as soon as they can via organised sessions. The mountain bike element, yeah, you need to get out. There's going to be lots of twists and turns, and I say a lot of booms and whips, so you need to be riding that short, sharp sessions, as well as, you know, going out riding for 3 hours. Yeah, but you need to be specific if you want to compete hard. So I suppose I would follow a cyclocross training program, and then running is going to be. But if you can do cross country racing over the summer and race off road duathlons, that's what you need to be doing.
Okay, I like the some nice tips there. And so it might be worth entering a cyclocross race or two over winter then to prepare for the mountain bike element.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would advise that. Our course, you will need to do that.
Will there be slots for the World Championship will it be in Maui next year? Will there be slots in Wales on offer?
Yeah, there will be, yeah. So because it's our first year, we're a category silver Xterra event. We've got the pro qualifications, but we also, so every winner of every age category gets the chance to go to the Maui World Champs. If they don't take it, then we go obviously go to roll down. But we're hoping that after our first 2 years that we can get up to gold, and then we'll have more qualifying slots.
But that in itself is quite appealing, isn't it, for people who might be thinking, oh yeah, a little trip to Hawaii could be on the horizon.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And the good thing is that it goes up in every 5 year age categories. There's plenty of chance for you to fight out, duke it out for a World Championship qualifying slot.
Do you have a lot of pro Xterra athletes interested, and will they be racing?
They will, yeah. So we have Leslie Patterson confirmed to race, Pocket Rocket from Scotland, 2 times Xterra World Champion, multiple winner. She comes second this year, obviously. She's had some health issues, but is coming back very, very strong. We have Ben Allen from Australia and Jackie Slack, his fiancée, who's from England but living in Australia. So they've already confirmed. We are talking to some other Xterra stars and some UK-based WTS stars as well, but I can't say who they are at this moment in time. If the pros that we are talking to are going to come, it'll make mainstream news, is what I'm trying to get across.
Oh, right. Amazing. Okay. I think we might be able to read into that one. It's a non-Olympic year, so, you know.
It is. It's a week before the Leeds WTS, but we're in talks with them at this moment in time. So, yeah. Watch this space.
I love it. There you have it. Some WTS stars potentially racing Xterra Wales. I love this news, Keith.
It's great stuff, yeah.
It's fantastic. I think, and come June next year, all the hard work will pay off, won't it?
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly, yeah. You know, we haven't talked about the Saturday before the main race on the Sunday. The Saturday is dedicated to kids' races. We have an outdoor pool as well, where we're going to run children's triathlons as well, right up to under 15s. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. The main event is going to be great. Great to see, you know, mass participation. But I'm super stoked about the kids. I can't wait to see, you know, 3-year-olds on balance bikes doing off-road duathlons. It's going to be crazy. I'm sure that it's, if you're here on the day and you see me crying, yeah, it's going to be because of watching these kids racing on their balance bikes.
And have you got a lot of interest from some of the local triathlon clubs to you who have got kids sections, and they're like, yep, we will be there?
Yes, yeah, definitely, yeah. People want to enter now. They want to enter kids. We are making sure that the main event is up and running, which we've got that. The next step is to get our accommodation section of the website up and running, and we're concentrating on that. That should be done in the next 2 weeks. And then when we're through that, then we'll get the kids' races up and online, so you'll be able to enter. But they are, yeah, locally, lots of people, UK-wide, from Scotland right down to Southend-on-Sea. You know, we're people are willing to come and have and stay.
That's awesome. And so you're hoping that all the entrants or a lot of the entrants will actually stay on site then? Is that the plan?
Student accommodation, so there's 401 beds that we have on site that are over 8 accommodation blocks. Plus I've got 166 acres for camping. So there's plenty of space for camping. We have a brand new sports centre, which is being built at this moment in time. We have an indoor swimming pool as well as an outdoor swimming pool and an outdoor education facility as well. So there's lots of changing and showering toilet facilities. And if they come and stay, they don't have to cook food because we have on-site catering. So, yeah, you can come and buy up a food package as well and come and sit in the warmth. We have a 12th century dining hall that looks like a Hogwarts, and you can come and have the best pasta party or
Harry Potter meets off-road triathlon.
it's really wacky, but yeah, you will absolutely love it.
Entry fee wise, what does it cost to enter, and I guess what do you get for your money?
Okay, so it's just shy of £90 to enter. We're using Eventbrite to manage that. Yeah, so you will get you get a goodie bag. We have Orbea bikes. They're going to be one of our partners or sponsors. Orca as well will be on board. So you're going to have a really good goodie bag from Orbea and Orca. Every entry gets entered into a raffle, and you get the opportunity to win a 5K mountain bike.
That's quite a good deal.
I think it's a pretty amazing deal.
And as you mentioned before as well, some of that entry fee will go back into trying to get a Syrian refugee on a scholarship at Atlantic College.
Whatever profit we do make, it all goes back into the scholarship program.
Awesome.
I say no one's making any money from this at all.
Keith, a few little sort of quick fire questions. Percentage wise of like men and women who do Xterra, what are you kind of looking at? Will it be predominantly a male field?
So it's 525 for the main event maximum. And at first, male entries are coming through thick and fast. But all of a sudden, the females are taking over. We've had a raft of female entries. It's really good, really healthy to see.
I like this news. Well, let's hope we can get some more female entrants as well after this has gone out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think what are queries from female athletes, and they're worried because they don't own a mountain bike. They've got to borrow one. So we are going to do some test events over the winter. So that with my wife taking some of the courses as well, we're talking to some other athletes like Louise Fox and different Xterra UK based athletes to come down and take people out on the course and show them, you know, that you can actually ride this. As I said earlier, you know, if you go slow enough, it won't be technical. But you know, if you do ride it quick, then it will be. And we will give you the confidence that you can come and race, definitely.
Brilliant. Will it be a trail run then? Do you need trail running shoes?
You will need trail running shoes, definitely.
So normal wetsuit, mountain bike, helmet, trail running shoes. Bob's your uncle.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you can race whatever wheel size you have. So there's, you know, you can ride 26 up to 29. It doesn't matter.
Great. And Keith, if on the evening of the 4th of June, when the sun's setting, what would be a successful weekend for you?
That everyone's enjoying themselves. You know, we have a full weekend of fun. So we want to see people, families coming and enjoying themselves. So we don't want kids to be bored. We want partners to be bored. So that we have an art center. So we'll be running films all day, different events. We're talking to a Hollywood star, believe it or not, that we want him to come and do a performance on the Saturday evening, which we'd be selling tickets for. And then Sunday evening, we're hoping to have a party, and we're talking to some famous rock stars, and we're hoping for them to come and play. And we want, as I say, we want everyone to have a fabulous time. It's not just about the racing. It's about having a really good family entertainment weekend with some really hardcore racing thrown in as well. We want it to be here on the international stage, we want people to come back, and we want people talking about it. We want to inspire other people to put on similar events. You can do it. I started getting involved in events a number of years ago, tentatively stepped in. And if you've got the passion and if you've got some skills in your work that can cross over into putting on an event, then yeah, you can do it. Just get out there, have fun, put on events.
Keith, you've inspired me, I can tell you that. You've sold it. Okay. I'm interested. I'm definitely going to be coming down. Race TBC, but I will definitely be down there, and we will get some good Cup of Try content. It sounds brilliant.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, if people are hearing this and they want to get involved, then get on our website. If they want to come and help, yeah, we're trying to reach out to people to come and be financial sponsors. We got packages between 5 and 10K. Come and help us. It's not helping us, it's helping, Syrian refugees. We got packages for people to come and help us, to help other people. So if you go to www.atlanticcollege.org, and if you type in Exterra on that search, if you go to Exterra Wales on Facebook.
Keith, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat, and I wish you all the best with the rest of the preparations. And let's hope we'll see some Cup of Try listeners on the start line as well.
Great stuff. We can organise a challenge for you guys on the day to see who becomes king or queen of the steps.
Deal. Right, you're on.
Yeah, there's a point in it for them. There we go.
Right, cracking stuff. And if you're interested in taking part in that event, and I imagine a few of you are, then get yourself over and check it out with a quick Google search on Exterra Wales. I think it's going to be a fantastic event by the sounds of things. And Helen's threatening to record some audio down there as well. So if you're going to go down and race, then be sure to let us know, and we'll try and hook up and do an interview with you. That'll make for a cool feature during the summer of next year. Okay, so this is bringing us to the end of today's episode. I hope you're all having a great time in the run-up to Christmas. Thanks very much for being a listener, and thanks for being part of the community. We've had another fantastic year. We're over 2 years into this podcast now, and we're having even more fun doing it each week than we were right in the very start. So we're going to continue to do this during the year. We've been brought to you by our sponsors, Team Oxygen Addicts. They're at team.oxygenaddict.com. You can check that out and join the waiting list if you're interested in finding out more about that when the team opens. And we're also brought to you by our patrons. Thanks again for signing up. And if you're interested in becoming a patron and you want access to all the juicy gossip from Joe Skipper about his race at Kona, and you want to hear about Harry Wiltshire and his to-do with Jan Frodeno, and also his to-do with Javier Gomez as well, you can sign up, and we'll be releasing the Patrons Only podcast on the 30th of December. And you'll also be getting an email from me shortly after that with our special thank you gift as well. So, yeah, brilliant stuff. Have a fantastic time over the Christmas period. Hope you use it to get some training in as well as eat some extra mince pies. And until next week, I'm Coach Rob Wilby. She's not been Helen Murray this week because she's away having a holiday, the lucky so-and-so. And you've been listening to the Cup of Try Triathlon podcast. Until next week, have a great Christmas, and I will talk to you again soon. Cheers now.